Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, good afternoon. And first of all, let me convey the greetings from our Director General of ICESCO, Excellency Dr. Tiruvaji, to this forum and his best wishes for the success of the forum. And I'm personally delighted to be here and honored and thankful to Hungarian Academy of Sciences, Mr. President, to you for giving us this opportunity. I'm myself, Professor, recently joined ICESCO as Deputy Director General. What I will try to talk today is a very interesting topic you people have picked, changing the landscape of the science. But at the end of the day, a bigger question should be asked: are we changing? Are we responding to this change? I think that will be the bigger question. Change is there, everybody know. And if the scientists are there, they go with empirical data. So change is there, but the question is, are we changing? And let me give you my story. And that can also show you that if you were not changing, you were left behind. If you see the science history, ladies and gentlemen, it started with the Greek era, then of course the Chinese era, and then it was the Muslim scientist who contributed in a humble way. With almost 350 years, they were leading the science and technology in the world. Of course, then joined by our Western other partners. Again, next couple of centuries, they were still there. But after that, the honor of science, all those miracles created, all those achievement we can see today in the science, in the health, in agriculture, in any area. The mainly credit go to Western scientists. What went wrong, Excellencies? Things started to go wrong in the early 20th centuries when Muslim scientists, Muslim people began to stagnate. They didn't change. They didn't respond to the change and see the consequences that we are left behind. And what were the reason? Because this is a forum, and I think that we should talk about the policy issues, and we should talk that what should we do next. If we see the missing pieces, what went wrong there was less priority to education and science and technology to those areas. And if we go back and see the era where they were flourishing, where they were producing, even today, the countries are those people who are living in science, they have the commitment from the top. In those power corridors, they have been respected, the scientists are respected, they are listened there. They have the full support from their government, their leaders, and that is why they are contributing. There was no serious commitment. Vision for the future was missing. And of course, the requirement was never work out that what is required in this part of the world. Proper environment was not created for science and technology in our part of the world, so-called the Islamic world or the Muslim world. And another big challenge was equitable opportunities were not provided. Even the 50%, the women population of that part of the world, still in so many countries, they are missing the opportunity to go for science and technology. Ladies and gentlemen, there are other many factors like invasions, political instability, and rise of religious intolerance, and so many other factors. As the minister said, this is not the forum to discuss. So let's be more objective oriented and seeing what is happening. So if you see the Muslim world almost at the moment, including the 57 Muslim states and the Muslims living in other countries, we are almost 1.8 billion people out of 7 billion. And Excellencies, if we can broadly divide them, we can divide them in three regions. Asia, Arab, that we call in the MENA region, and the Africa region. And even within those regions, you can see the hell of difference. Look at this Asia, what they have achieved in the science in the Muslim countries like Turkey, like other Pakistan, Iran, other countries. But if we go to the Africa, the other end, still there is a huge gap. So what to do? And this is a recent publication I was looking last night, that if you see the population growth, you know, and compare the Muslim versus other nations, because I'm from ISESCO, Islamic organization, who is looking after the science, education, and cultural activities in the Muslim states. So we can see that even today, almost 24% of the population in this world is from the Muslim or Islamic world, we can call them. And it can grow, because the population growth rate in the other countries very well done, and in Muslim state it is still 2-point-some percent today. And it will stay there for quite a long time. The projection is that even in 2030 it will be 1-point-some 4% or something like that, where the other world will be 0.6% or less than that. So it will grow. And the important aspect, the thesis of my talk is today, because we are talking about the powerhouses. We do have clusters of excellence, center of excellence in science in different areas. Like Malaysia has done a wonderful job. Egypt has done. Pakistan, Iran, Jordan, other countries, they are doing good job in different areas. But they are in isolation here and there, those clusters of excellence. But if you see the real powerhouse coming up in the science and technology, I think still it is a long way to go. Are we proud of it? No. We have to work a lot collectively as a society to address this issue. Ladies and gentlemen, the big issue which I want to share with you, and you are already knowing that, looking at this graph, the youth, the Muslim world especially, the population, young population, less than 40 years of age is a huge population, you can see today, tomorrow, even to 2030. The people who will be working in labs, education institutions, research, our industry, they are already born. We cannot do anything. For next 30, 40 years, they're already born. So what to do then? This is I call them a powerhouse in Islamic world. Ladies and gentlemen, we have more than around 780 million young people in the Muslim world, less than age group of 25. And I think this is a gold mine. If we invest on them, we can create good opportunity. If we leave them unattended, and again, you know that, what is happening in the society? This is a major part of this whole world. So my request to this forum will be that scientists, researchers need to think about these things. And what ISESCO, from the ISESCO platform, with our colleagues, with our partner like UNESCO and other partners, we have started doing some, in a humble way, few activities in this direction. We are working with our partners to build capacity of this region. Because I personally, as a scientist, feel that how can we feel pride of any achievement in the world of science if still in Africa somebody is dying without water? If still in another country a person or a population is suffering from some disease? So what are we really? We should be celebrating something, or what? So ladies and gentlemen, we have started building, and since last so many years, we are doing this capacity building. We have worked with the Muslim states and adopted a science technology innovation strategy for them. We are establishing different ministerial forum because, as I said, that the missing piece, bigger missing piece I can see was that the leadership, they were not committed towards science and technology. Those power corridors, they were not having those scientists, researchers, educationists there. It used to be. And that is the area where we need to check. Recently, yesterday, we were having this African Parliamentarian Forum for Science and Technology. They are doing a wonderful job along with this UNESCO. We had this meeting, steering committee meeting. And they will be launching in a big way next coming year a program in the African region. And we are also creating a network of the scientists to work on, as the Minister Excellency from the Israel, he was mentioning that we have to look for indigenous problem and also to solve the indigenous solutions. We are working on that. We are working on indigenous issues and pushing our young scientists to work on indigenous solutions. With the help of Muslim philanthropists and Academy of Islamic Sciences, even UNESCO has shown some interest, we will be launching a working group in coming April in Kuala Lumpur. There is a big forum taking place, and we'll be launching a working group in this area where we are going to provide technical supports for young scientists, youth of our world, that they need to look for the indigenous problem and they need to solve those indigenous solutions. And they should come up with a project, and the Muslim philanthropists, they have promised that they are going to provide some resources. We are also doing the institution arrangement. This is a very important message which I'm listening from so many speakers, that we need to collaborate to create synergy. We are using this Federation of Islamic University platform to encourage our researcher scientists that they need to collaborate with each other. We are forming clusters, regional, and looking at the regional requirements. And of course, with the stronger international linkages, as I said, we are working very closely with our partner UNESCO and other OIC and IDPs and other African Development Bank and other similar organizations. We have more than 160 partners which are engaged with us. We are which are organization, individuals, group of people who are working with ICESCO to implement those strategies. We are creating a region network, as I said, and basically it's learning from each other. Capacity building, policy dialogue, involving leadership for strategic decision. And of course, relevance part is important. What is the way forward? How to address this issue? Are we still going to stand there? Are we going to change? Ladies and gentlemen, then here, the government level, the country level, they need to act. The community level, they need to act. The scientist level, we need to act. And of course, the international forum, they also need to act. I think at the government level, at the leadership level, they need to change their mindset. The solution of our problems are in education, believe me, whatever problem we are facing in the world. Education, education, and education only. This has to be realized at the top level. And they need to change the mindset that this is not expenditure, this is the investment. And investment need to be done. They need to own these science and technologies initiatives and education initiative if they really want to make some changes. And potential is there. And potential is there, it is proven potential there. More investment is required in education and science technology, and they need to create science-friendly policies in their respective countries. Ladies and gentlemen, and the message which I like, one of those, our colleague from the Royal Society, Honorable Professor, he also mentioned about this science for peace. And I think this is the big message we should be taking from here. We need to focus on constructive science and discourage destructive science. And I did science and business together, so I always sometime I calculate what is the return on investment. If we just, whatever we created and destroyed during the Cold War, if we should have used that part in the, only in African countries, those that should have been Europe here today. Whatever resources we are wasting in destructive science, I should say, kindly redirect it to constructive science. So let's make this world a safe world. And we need to, at the country level, excellencies, they need to work more, especially in Islamic world, I am talking on science and technology, creating more human resource there. And what we need to do at the scientist level, and this is very important, because when I was teacher in university, I was also running around. How many papers I published? Where did I publish them? This is good. This is one indicator of doing a good job. But if I have 400 something impact factor, I should ask question to myself, what did I do for society? The humanities, the science for humanity, science for society, of course, science has done wonder for the society. Look at the health sciences, look in other areas. But still parallel, we have done so many destructive things in the science. To our society, our scientists, they also need to focus on humanities. And they also need to encourage constructive science and discourage the destructive science. We should not ignore the human part. Ladies and gentlemen, we are working very, people are going beyond sky now. Please don't ignore human. Because ultimately, that is the bottom line. We need to remember very precious part, human being, when we are doing the science. Linkages and collaborations are the answer for so many problems, the deficiency in our part of the world too, and that is what we are encouraging. And at the end, if we will not change today, believe me, we'll still stay uneducated tomorrow. So I think changing landscape is a good slogan, good point we are picking here. But I think the most important is, are we changing? Are we willing to change? And we have to change. Otherwise, we'll become history. I thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.